Welcome, y'all, to another exciting edition of Possum's Big Fiddle Show. Today on the program, I'm going to play some tunes. I always like to play a few tunes. And I'm going to talk more about our little trip to Shetland Island that we took, the Shetland Islands, rather, that we took back in October. So let's get started. Hey, you know, last time around when I was in this chair and wasn't playing tunes at Don's, Tuesday Tunes. By the way, that's most Tuesdays on my YouTube channel, beginning at 11 a.m. Central Time for about a half hour of live fiddling and other miscellaneous BS. So you won't want to miss that most every Tuesday at 11 o'clock Central Time. Anyway, let's play a tune. Last time I was sitting in this chair, I was about ready to say I played the 40 Years Ago Waltz as a request, and I'm going to try now. That's in B-flat. I'm going to try to see if I can play a little bit of the 50 Years Ago Waltz. Now, this is a tune that me and my contemporaries learning to play the fiddle in mid-Missouri would have heard Jimmy Gilmore play, and also probably Taylor McBain played this tune some. So let's see if we can play a little bit of the 50 Year Ago Waltz in D and G. The great little old 50 Years Ago Waltz. Pretty fancy piece of music for those old timers there in central Missouri, but it was one of their faves. Jimmy Gilmore used to play it. You thought I was milking it. Man, he would like, oh, man, he'd milk it really bad and then really slow, and then he had this like huge wide vibrato that basically you could just drive a truck right through either end of it. You know, it was like, oh, the guy was a very entertaining guy to hang around with back in those days. All right. So, you know, we took this little trip to Shetland. I'm going to set this fiddle on my knee here with the sound off on it so it don't make any noise. But It was a great trip. Last time I talked about how we got there, you know, the ferry, the trains, all that stuff. Now I'm going to talk to you about what I call the first section of the festival, which is the first two nights. You get there on a Thursday morning, and that's when the ferry arrives in the harbor there, and you got to get from the terminal to your accommodation. So we elected to rent a car. It's a very nice place there on the island called Bolt's Car Hire. They come highly recommended by us because they were so flexible with us. I couldn't believe it. We had hired this car, and their person met us there early in the morning when the ferry came in the terminal. We got the keys, got in the car, and dang it, it's harder to drive on the wrong side of the road than I had remembered. And Pat, for sure, I didn't even try it. I'm a prescription for an instant automobile accident if I'm driving on the... I'm pretty much that here, driving on the side I'm familiar with. But Pat took a go at driving, and it was just really hard. You know, it's so hard to judge where you're at when you're on a different side of the car. You're looking at across the hood a different way. So it was too scary. So we called the people, and they took the car back, charged us only a little bit. And they were really nice of them to return the car. And it was nice of the people at the guest house. We were stayed at the Fort Charlotte guest house. Jim there drove our car back to Bolt's for us, so we didn't have to even get behind the wheel again. So that was great. Everything, you really don't need a car when you're there at the festival, to be honest. So the festival starts right there the first morning you're there. And so, you know, you want to take a nap in the worst possible way, but you better just jump on your horse and get over to the Eelsburg Community Center. That's where they have all the events. That's where the festival club, so-called, is located. And there's a cafe there, and there's a bar, and there's a dance room, and there's like a ballroom, and there's rooms to have jam sessions in. So let's look at a little bit at this first set of slides. Anyway, here we are at the Eelsburg Community Center. Like I said, that's where everything happens. It's a beautiful... fully remodeled, modernized, old school building from the 1900s and from the early 1900s. And look at this construction. As you go around town, there's all these beautiful stone buildings. There aren't any trees to speak of in Shetland, so building stuff from wood, you know, back in the day especially, probably wasn't an option. So there's a lot of stonework everywhere. And even new buildings, I think they must be building regulation or codes, because even the new buildings going up around Lerwick there look like the old buildings, which is really cool. All right, so let's go to the next slide. Oh, this is a fiddler from Ian Robertson, a fiddler from England, actually. And he plays with this accompanist named Angela Berry. And he is a very strong player in the area of kind of the Baroque style Scottish fiddling, you know, the real hardcore strathspeys, reels, played really with a very high amount of technique. The guy's really, really a nice player. And this woman is apparently one of the best piano accompanists around as well. So this is I'm just showing these because this is kind of like the opening ceremony for the festival. So it starts right after lunch. And this is the Ewan Galloway band. I even bought a couple of their CDs. I'll play you some tracks of these maybe on a future episode. But these guys are really great Cayley band. And let's go to another slide here. Boom. Oh, these guys are from Norway. What are they called? Let's see. There's really great connection between Shetland and Norway, if you weren't aware. It used to be owned by Norway back in the olden days, the king and queen days, and then it was sold to the Scots, and so there's people there. Their language is a kind of a mashup of Norse, Lowland Scots, and English, is what I can read, and it's kind of beautiful. I love especially seeing it in print on Facebook. It's really cool. So there's definitely a Norwegian connection with Shetland Islands. And so they usually have some Scandinavian acts. Who are these guys? Let's see if I can figure out from my... Oh, this is Spelmin... See, I shouldn't have even tried. It's a band from Norway, and they're really good. And I really liked the guitar player, actually. He was one of the most tasteful kind of trad style guitar players I'd heard in a long time. Okay, and this is the dance hall back there in the against the wall, that kind of a black thing. That's that screen you were seeing in the previous slide here. So now we're in the dance hall, and there's dancing all the time. If there's not a concert going on somewhere else, there's dancing going on here. It's really amazing. And one fabulous Scottish band after another gets up and plays. So when you go to the festival, the first two nights, their venues are not in the Eelsburg Hall or in the local theater in Lerwick. They're out in the island. And so you have to get out and go. And there's six different venues every night. Some of them require taking extra ferry rides to get to and from. And so here's the little map showing these are all the different venues around the islands that were having concerts on Friday and Thursday night. So we chose the first night to go to a place called Quorf. And one of the reasons you don't need a car, by the way, is they have these musicians' buses. And if you get over to the Eelsburg Center in the morning and go in the shop, you can buy a ticket to whatever concert you're going to for £4 and ride the musician's bus. So if you're from the UK, you know, and you brought your car over in the ferry, of course you're going to take your car around. But if you're some hapless person from North America, Canada or the US, and you don't want to drive on the wrong side of the road, and you don't want the expense and worry of liability of driving, you can just ride the musician's bus, which is really a cool option, and it was fun too. Okay, so off we go to this place called Quorf, which is a I think what we describe here in this part of the world as a wide spot in the road, but actually it's kind of a junction, and there's not many people there. It's a few houses and a lot of sheep grazing around, and it's a beautiful pastoral setting, and there's this nice community hall. It's about 5 miles south of Lerwick. The Quorf Public Hall. And this is kind of the interior. They had it all decorated up with twinkly lights, and it's got beautiful knotty pine everywhere. And this is a nice stage, and they had a very nice sound system, which was very well operated. The sound was really excellent. This is one of the groups we went to see, the individual Gemma Donald, this fiddler. Oh, she's fantastic, I think. A friend of mine up in Quebec told me about her, and I bought one of her CDs from, I think it's called Music in Scotland. It's a website I've ordered a bunch of stuff from. I'll have to get the exact URL and throw it up on my blog. But she's a really great fiddler, and man, it did not disappoint to come and see her play at the Quorf Hall. And with this accordionist, Alan Small, they're machine-like in their precision and play at blistering tempos. It's really quite amazing to hear them. So then let's go on from here. There was some dancing after each of the venues says concert, supper, dance, and so. The supper, though, is not really a supper like we might think. It's kind of a snack. Some sandwiches with the crust cut off and some tea. It's a lot of sweets. So the first night we didn't eat, and the next night we learned and had a proper meal before we went out to the other venue we went to. So let's finish up here. Some more dancing. It's really cool dancing. We'd never experienced Scottish dancing before. It's... This is Cayley dancing as opposed to Scottish country dancing. So it's a lot of couple dances. And you're going around a circle in counterclockwise around the room with your couple, or you might be in a group of three holding hands and doing something. And then there are like five or six kinds of waltzes we saw, each with its own different set of steps. And those are all done going counterclockwise around the hall as well. So that's... I'll talk more about dancing in the future. I have to read more about it, and I might try to rustle up a bunch of videos off the internet, off of YouTube, put up a playlist showing different styles and different kinds of these Scottish Cayley dances. But there was some beautiful scenery, views of the ocean. as I said, I think I mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of trees in Shetland, and so it's kind of a windswept place, but it has a lot of rolling hills, a lot of beautiful views of the sea, nice views of farms. That I think we're looking at here could be a Voe, V-O-E. This is a geological feature. It's basically an inlet to some inland loch, I believe, is what technically what it is. Inlet lake, but it was described to me as being a fjord without cliffs, like a flat country fjord. So that's Voe. It must be a Norse word, I would guess. But there's a lot of beautiful permanent pasture. There's cattle and there's sheep everywhere grazing. I didn't see much in the way of people trying to grow corn and soybeans, but I don't think this country is amenable to that sort of thing. Or maybe they're not even interested in that sort of thing. But they have some beautiful livestock, and I had a nice piece of Shetland lamb, a leg of lamb, one night at the one noon at the cafe in the Eelsburg Center. And then here's another beautiful view of the sea. There's even a cliff over there on the left, far away in the distance. And then now I have to start my other slideshow. Let's see here. Here we go. So this is another view. This is one of those small ferries that takes you from island to island. And then, so the second night, that was sort of the view of getting to Quarif, but also a view of getting to a place called Vidlin, V-I-D-L-I-N. It's a town about 20 miles north of Lerwick this time. So it's pretty far away. Not as far as some of the venues, but it's one of the further ones. And there's this beautiful hall. It says up in the corner, if you can't kind of see it, it says Vidlin Hall, or Public Hall, rather. Then it says 1910. So this is a pretty old building, but it's been very well remodeled in the interior. Just wanted to show you this monument, World War One or Great War monument that's there. And, you know, a lot of people... not so many Americans fought in World War One, and when we did, we got there kind of late to the game. I mean, there were people died, don't get me wrong, but we didn't have the years of suffering that the English and the Scots and French and the Germans, even though they're the aggressor, I guess. It's horrible how many people died in that war, and this is a monument to the people who died just in this local area. And I think there were like a dozen names on there. Just hard to imagine how devastating that would be to a small town. But anyway, once we get inside the Vidlin Public Hall, man, is it beautiful. It doesn't look like 1910 anymore. This hall was even more impressive than the one at Quarif. It was bigger and, wow, had a fantastic sound system. Look at the lighting around the room. And then over to your right, you can't see, there's kind of a dining hall and the bar. And I mean, this is just a beautiful building and has great acoustics. And this is a nice little quaff before the concert. You need something to wet your whistle. One of the reasons we wanted to go to Shetland was to meet a guy named Ivor Scully. And there he is in the center. And on the other side, there's Brian Gere. And that's me, of course, laughing in a blur. But these guys are members of the Cullivo Cayley Band, and a lot of people who are fans of traditional fiddling know about Willie Hunter. Well, he was the fiddler for the Cullivo Band, and when he passed away, Brian Gere stepped in, and wow, he's an amazing violinist, amazing traditional violinist, I'll say. He's a real fiddler. And here's the Cullivo Band playing right here at the Vidlin Public Hall. Okay, so that's the end of my slides. Let's go back to this view. So let's play another couple of tunes here before we run out of time. One of the tunes I want to play is called Miss Susan Cooper, and that's actually a Shetland tune. I didn't realize there was a gentleman there named Ronald Cooper, who wrote a lot of tunes. And there's a collection of his tunes. He was a piano accompanist and a tune composer, but there's a nice collection of his tunes that we picked up at the festival shop, and I've been learning some things out of it. One called the tushkar. That's like a special shovel they use in Shetland to dig up the peat. And then another one I like is called Chadwick's Bog. That's a tune I had heard Willie Hunter play before on one of his recordings. And so this is what the book looks like here, the Ronnie Cooper collection. I'm going to learn a bunch of tunes out of here. There's some really good stuff in here. And a lot of them are common, fun tunes that you'd play with people from that part of the world, and they would know. So let's see if I can play Miss Susan Cooper, which is one of his tunes we already played, but we already knew, but I didn't realize it was a Shetland tune. I think that's a pretty cool tune. I think I'll play one more. This is I've just been messing with this Ripple Rock jig for a while. This Canadian jig in D, written by Ned Landry. It's a simple little thing, but it's kind of fun to play. So let's try a little bit of the Ripple Rock jig. That was the Ripple Rock jig there. You can get the dots to that one, I think, on my website. If they're not up there, send me a message, bigfiddleshow@gmail.com, and I'll see if I can post the music to that tune. That's about all the time I got for today. Thanks for listening to another one of my podcasts, Possum's Big Fiddle Show.